You're listening to IsraelScene.com. I'm Steve, and my co-host, Yoram, is back with Yitzhak Chayutman in the little cabin in Jerusalem.
I think, Yitzhak, this series that we're doing here today is really about the ideas of Yitzhak Chayutman. And the last one you talked about, maybe we could talk about it again, a book you wrote with Ohad Ezrahi about the temple.
Yeah. We wrote a book that is called Hayashan Yitchadesh VeHadash Yitkadesh. This is a sentence from Rav Kook, but it fitted, in English it means, let the old be renewed and the new sanctified. And this book that I wrote with Ohad Ezrahi really fits this. Ohad's contribution, which is the largest thing there, about three quarters of the book, is about the erotic side of the temple, about a quality that was in the temple that we have forgotten about it, a very erotic quality of getting nearness to the presence, to the Shekhinah. So he wrote about the two cherubs in the temple, which according to the sages used to copulate. And nowadays we'll think it's a very strange idea to find such sculptures in a Jewish shrine, let alone images being engaged in coitus. But sages tell us that this was the first temple of Solomon. That was happening in it. So this made a very fascinating writing, and most people who have bought this book, which became like an underground classic, it's never been advertised, but still all the 1,000 copies were sold. So most people think that it's Ohad Ezrahi's book about the erotic side of the temple. But my one quarter of the book contribution was two essays, which used a little Hebrew word games. One was called Meni'im u Meni'ot leBinyan HaMikdash, pros and cons for building the temple. Meni'im is reasons or motivations for building. Meni'ot are obstacles. Yeah, the masculine is for the vision and the movement. The feminine here is the stopping and the containing. So this analyzed what the temple should be for various communities. First, for religious rabbinical Jews. And I pointed something very simple, that out of 613 commandments, according to Sefer HaChinuch, 343 of them have to do with the temple or with the land of Israel and cannot be enacted till the temple exists. And leaving only 270 commandments, the Jews can engage in without the temple. Now, strange enough, 270 is ra, means evil. So you can say that the best that a Jew can do nowadays is rak ra kol hayom, only evil all day. If you really try to keep all the mitzvot you can, the best you can do is still bad. The 343 are the same gematria as geshem, which means materiality or actuality. And there is a sentence in the Song of Songs saying, hageshem chalaf halach lo. The rains have gone away, but it also means materiality or actuality has disappeared. Hageshem chalaf halach lo, his past is lost and gone. So we should bring in the geshem, the actuality, the materiality, into Judaism, which was kind of cosmopolitan, galut, diaspora, or exile type of thing, with the land, with the temple. So anyway, this was motivation for religious Jews. But then I continued, what's the motivation for Reform Jews? And then some people were not so easy when I was giving it as a series of articles in one of the temple organizations. Then I wrote why the temple is important for non-Jews. And they were happy. And so then I wrote about why it's important for secular Jews. That and I quoted a thinker of the labor movement who was once a communist, who headed the Bet Bell kind of think tank. I can't remember his name right now. And he spoke about, as a secular person, spoke that the task, national task of Israel in the future should be to invent God. He said, mankind needs God. He came to this conclusion as a secular person. And it seems to be the within the capacity of Jews to invent something like that, Lamzi. And I add the little thing that if there is a point to work, develop God, surely there should be also a place. And what is this place? This is a Mikdash. And then the second article that I had there had the name of Tavniot veTovanot leBinyan haMikdash, patterns and insights for building the temple in our time.
Is there also male and female play here?
Tovanot veTavniot. No, they are both feminine, but one is more intricate. Tavniot. And in fact, right now, I have sent a proposal that my literary agent got some American publisher for me to write a book about the temple. And I called it, I use the notion of Tavniot patterns in the through the English word templates, temple templates, the New Jerusalem templates for building the universal Jerusalem temple. Because also Jerusalem, Jerusalem means whole vision, vision of the whole, holy vision. So the like we have a television in at home, we should have in Jerusalem a holy vision facility, which is the temple, especially this heavenly temple I'm speaking about. And mentioning books, I recently wrote this book about the Gospel of Judas Iscariot that was found in the Egyptian desert. And one of the most remarkable things about it is that even though it's such a short work, all of it is now typed on 7 pages, and there's a lot of missing parts, still there is in it some there are 3 types of temples. In this very short work, the third one is very much like Moses coming into the cloud in Sinai, or Ezekiel seeing a whole vision of the whole Merkava coming out of a luminous cloud. And what they have in this Gospel of Judas is a cloud that appears on the Temple Mount, over the Temple Mount. And all kinds of things come out of it. And in the end, Judas steps into this cloud, luminous cloud, and a voice comes out of it, a voice of revelation. And interestingly, this, we are recording it now on the week of Parashat Vayera, which tells about the first mention of the Har HaMoriah in the place of the temple. And it says about Abraham, who was the first to see the potential of this place. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And the most important biblical commentator, Rashi, explains, what did he see there? Ra'a anan kashur al hahar. He saw a cloud tied, bound, upon, over the mountain. So this is a vision of the future temple in my mind, that a cloud will be fixed to the mountain by building a big transparent container that is pulled by wires and tension members of a like bridge construction, just to carry this big transparent box, which will contain a cloud or smoke, because this is what the temple was producing. The temple was producing the smoke of incense and the smoke of the sacrifices. So we have now different technologies to produce smoke over the Temple Mount and to fix it. And then it becomes ideal projection media, but not like a two-dimensional movie screen that you project light from it and you see two-dimensional picture. On such a cloud fixed within a big box over the Temple Mount, hologram laser beamers can send holograms which will appear as three-dimensional patterns in the skies above Jerusalem, and the thing can be built to be so big till it could even be seen from Tel Aviv and the whole country. So that's, for me, the complement to the earthly components. Other thing is that I've been exploring. My most recent publication was in a collection of books, of articles by very respectable people, two former chief rabbis. Right after my article comes a article of my teacher, Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, about the ideal government for Israel. And I wrote about the vision of Ezekiel. I call it From Tel Aviv to the Temple, the restoration of Israel according to Ezekiel. And there I showed that he invented or put four new Hebrew words which became accepted. One is Tel Aviv, for instance. I mentioned my grandfather's story with Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv appears in Ezekiel. So does the term Chashmal, which we use for electricity, comes from Ezekiel. And there's a whole great mystical literature in Hebrew about this Chashmal, this mysterious electricity. And when I read it, it reads to me just like a manual of how to produce complex patterns of lights and picture when I read the Kabbalah commentaries on Ezekiel. So now I'm handing in the outline for my next book, which is about those patterns for the temple. And I already use this term, but so it's Tovanot and Tavniot. Tovanot, the insights about how the temple could be realized, is first of all to acknowledge the political situation as it exists now, to see even signs of providence, even in the many obstacles that we have, which, among other things, should force us to really think what is a temple and what is its function in our day and age. But the kind of political aspects of it means, as I mentioned earlier, maintaining everything that has come there over the generations and adding to it, adding up from heaven, from above and from below. So this will be a beautiful combination of the old and the new. Hayashan yitchadesh v'chadash yitkadesh. Using all these new technologies of projection and light and computer coordination and so on, and virtual realities. My first designs for the temple were actually horrible and horrified people, but they were a stage important in the development of the idea. So those primitive ideas, let's say, were of building this giant cube of 50 floors and 50 cells on each corridor, kind of surrounding the Temple Mount, containing like a giant hotel with 10,000 rooms, a structure with 10,000 cells, in which each cell is for another one pilgrim, who are all together there like bees in a honeycomb that they are emerging from the cells. A place for the transformation, or really the metamorphosis, spiritual metamorphosis in people. People speak about being born again. So certainly, then in my design, I could see that this is a place of people to be born again in this special pilgrimage, as part of this special pilgrimage, the consummation of the pilgrimage, as becoming face to face on this space. But seeing it more now as a metaphor, that this can stand virtually there, showing that people have the places around the holy place, but in fact not necessarily putting a real structure there, but each one can see on his computer screen his place in such a matrix, but that this matrix coordinate the personal transformations of the pilgrims into a large coherent event, creating like a whole tribe, extended family of people who have undergone together a great spiritual experience and now know what is their mission in the world when they are still, say, connected by internet, but they have become a new family by dint of being the pilgrims of this Mahazor, of this class of certain dates, certain holiday. And I've been thinking about many games which can train people in these arts of coordinating their own thought and contribution with that of a number of other people. And the example, a simple one will be, let's say, five or six people are coming and they have their mottos, they have the sentence. Each sentence is, say, up to a certain number of letters, up to 100 or 50 letters. And the message is put in such a way that it comes, gets divided. A person gets the first, the sixth, the 11th, the 16th place for his message to run. Next person gets a second, seventh, 12th, 17th, etc. They can come in different colors so you can still see your own sentence or contribution. But now comes this puzzle game, this Scrabble, that people start shifting their own message in such a way that it will combine to meaningful letters and words and even sentences with that of others. They still are sovereign over their own places and that they want to make their statement, but they may change the wordings. They may come around to some other formulations when they start seeing what the other people are saying. But in some way to merge together the individual contributions of different people into a whole coordinated statement which will be obliging or committing for those people. A simpler one will be simply to make some kind of painting, you know, that each person has some of the pixels, control some of the pixels of the picture. That's a more abstract and more immediate and sensate, less intellectual. But one way or another, I see the temple as a facility to add some collective spiritual experience to people in the terms of our time, of respecting each individual's integrity, of not going through unification by making uniformity by everybody, but in ways that merge together the segula of each person and each community into ever larger wholes, to give mankind more this kind of sense of merging, finding the common interest, finding the soul mates, the soul cooperation.